message, part one in a two-part message, called The Blight of Unethical Sexual Ethics. The Blight of Unethical Sexual Ethics, part one. I read to you a little bit earlier, and I'm going to read a portion again of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. It says, "For this is the will of God." Now, you don't have to guess about what's going to come after this. Nobody has to pray whether what the will of God is relating to this topic, because it tells you right out, this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, if you're going to live the Christian life as you ought, this is the will of God. It says that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Today's media is a mess. Teenage entertainment, for the most part, and even the greater part of public education, is lying to our youth about and our teens about sex. The music industry is marketing sex to them at an all-time high. I looked up on the internet when I found this quote. I looked up who this Jewel is. I never knowingly heard any songs by Jewel, but she seems to be a popular woman, a young woman in the music realm. And this is what Jewel said in an interview with Rolling Stone magazine. Now, Rolling Stone is not the group called the Rolling Stones, plural, those old drug addicts, that's not the ones. This is a magazine that the pop culture is into with music. But I thought what Jewel had to say was very revealing, and parents need to know. She said, "I think that largely people in the music business right now are looking at selling addictions. It's just the biggest return you can have if you can get people addicted to a kind of music. And pretty much all the music that's being sold right now has an addictive quality. It's usually selling sex-addicting kids on sex." I want to say that again. It's usually selling sex-addicting kids on sex. It's a marketed, very contrived effort. The entertainment industry is fascinated, literally fascinated, with sex, and it saturates their productions with corrupted sexual ethics. It's teaching children that premarital sex and same-sex relationships are safe and are normal. And I want to tell you, it's ravaging the ranks of our teenagers today. Perhaps you're wondering, well, is this just the preacher's hype? Preacher, is it really true? I went to the Center for Disease Control and got some statistics that they keep, and the Center for Disease Control says this. 63%, now think about that. 63% of youth ages 14 to 21 are sexually active. That blows me out of the water. One in four sexually active teens will contract a sexually transmitted disease. From here on out, I'll call the sexually transmitted disease STD. That's the abbreviations they use for sexually transmitted disease. Two-thirds of all people who acquire an STD are under the age of 25. And listen to this. 80% of teens who have STDs are unaware that they are infected. Now listen, young ladies. Every young lady, listen to me now. Nearly half of teenage girls become infected with a sexually transmitted disease during their first sexual encounter. When it comes to AIDS, the data is even more chilling. HIV infections each year, 50% occur in people under 25. Close to 1 million teen pregnancies occur each year, and these are not young ladies who are married and want children. These are unwanted pregnancies, and I just want to tell you that safe sex is not safe. Safe sex is not safe. So what can be done? In the June issue of the American Family Journal that comes here, it's a Don Wildman journal that comes here. I don't agree with everything that's in it, but they do have some good information. There's an article titled this way, Sex, to Whom Are Teens Listening? And this is based on a 2001 survey conducted by the National Campaign to Prevent Teen Pregnancy. And here's what they found out about who teens are listening to. 37% of the teens listen to their parents. 30% listen to their friends. 11% listen to their religious beliefs. 11% to the media. And 11% are other miscellaneous influence. But here's what the article goes on to say. Quote, beyond what kids are taught in school, however, is what they are taught at home and church. According to a growing body of research, parents and religious beliefs are a potent 1-2 combination when it comes to influencing teens' decisions whether or not to have sex. When you add up the 37% and the 11%, that's 48%, nearly half. So there's a potent combination between what the church preaches and what parents say. But I just want to say, parents, you need to be saying the right things. You need to be talking about the right things. You need to be talking and promoting biblical morality. 37% listen to their parents, about 11%. But when the two together, if we're saying the same thing, that can be a powerful influence on our children. And you know, it's very interesting. Some people say, well, I'd rather not talk about it. Well, in the society that we're living in, you better let your children know what the biblical standards are and that you expect them to follow that biblical standard, because nobody else is going to tell them except here or there. Or they're going to be telling them something you don't want them to be hearing. You know, as I think about it, it says in Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go. That's what it says. Train. Who? You train. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 6. It tells you, the parents, it says, fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And parents, you need to set the standards in your home, including those sexual standards. And these standards need to be biblical standards. And to keep silent on biblical sexual standards is to invite danger right to come into your house. Because remember that 30% of kids' decisions are made up by what their friends say. I just need to point that out to you. Now, the Alan Guttmacher Institute. The Alan Guttmacher Institute, let me just tell you a little bit about them. They're the research arm of Planned Parenthood. And I really couldn't believe that they found out some things that were true and actually published them. Usually they are promoting all kinds of things that aren't good. But the Alan Guttmacher Institute did a study on teen sexual involvement. And to the surprise of many conservatives, myself included, the findings were published in Family Planning Perspective. And they found that parents can best keep their teens from becoming sexually active by doing three things. Number one, maintain a warm, loving relationship with their children. Duh! That's exactly what the Bible has said all along. Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter 2 and verse 4. In Titus chapter 2, and in verse 4, it's talking to moms. And let's back up, just start right out at Titus chapter 2, verse 1. It says, but speak thou things which become sound doctrine. And this is talking about moms and dads. This is talking about preachers. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. What's doctrine? Doctrine is what is believed to be true. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate. That means self-controlled. Sound in the faith and charity and patience. That the aged women likewise be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine. Teachers of good thing. That they might teach the younger women. Here it is. To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. And then look at verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. A couple of things there. They're to love their children. They're to be discreet and chaste. If you're living an immoral life, how do you expect for your children to live a moral life if you're not living that life? Now, certainly, one of the things that the Bible says that you are to keep a relationship with your children, a warm, loving relationship with your children. Turn with me. We looked at it a little bit earlier, but now I want you to look with me to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. It says, "And ye fathers." Fathers are busy providing and so on, but they need to keep a relationship with their children as well. It says, "Provoke not your children to wrath." Inconsistency can provoke your children to anger and to wrath, and the Bible warns you about that. It says, "Provoke not your children to wrath," but then addressing it says, "But bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord." In other words, you keep that relationship open with them and you let them know by your life and by your lips. Keep that communication open with them, that loving relationship open with them, so that they will be receptive to what you're saying. Number two, the study that was done by the Guttmacher Institute says, "Let your teens know that they are expected to abstain from sex until marriage." Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. Nothing new, nothing that we don't know. The problem is today that many parents aren't taking the time to do it. Let your kids know what you expect of them. And everybody knows this well enough. Now these things command, and these are the commandments and statutes that, and judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land wherewith ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep his, keep all his statutes and his commandments which I have commanded thee, thou and thy sons' sons, that's your grandchildren, all the days of thy life, and says that thy days might be prolonged. Hear ye, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee. It says that ye might increase mightily, as the Lord your God of your fathers promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Certainly, the church has a responsibility to teach them, but you know what? Home is supposed to teach them. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. When thou walkest in the way, when thou liest down, when thou rise up. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. Let your children know what the standard is and what your expectations are from very young. 1 Corinthians 6, 18 through 20. It says, "Flee fornication." Flee! Run away from! Flee fornication! Sexual sin. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Say, what does that mean? Didn't you hear the statistics earlier about the sexually transmitted disease? Not to talk about the guilt and all those other things that are associated with that. What? Speaking to believers, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies and your spirit, which are God's. Let your children, your teens, know they are expected to abstain from sex until marriage. Number three, the Guttmacher Institute very interestingly said, avoid discussion of birth control. The natural consequence of sexual relationships is the outworking of teaching them early on about birth control. The wide prescribing of birth control agents makes it seem that you can fornicate without consequences. It's just not true. You cannot fornicate without consequences. Now, the fourth point, I believe they missed, but the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent Health picked it up. Number four says that moms of girls who were still virgins tended to know where their daughters were when they were not at home. They knew their daughters' friends and insisted on things like shared family meal times. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You look up the word communication, that's talking about the communication, that's talking about the relationship between friends. Evil friends and their contact and their communicating with each other corrupt good manners. What's good manners? Good morals. Evil communications corrupt good morals. The Bible says, enter not into the path of the wicked. And I just want to tell you, you know, your teens are going to say, oh, we just want to go here and there, and they don't want to give you the specifics of things. Parents, you need to know where your teens are. You need to know who they are with and what they are planning on doing.
He says, oh, well, it feels like the FBI, preacher.
I don't care whether it feels like the FBI or not the FBI. I'm just telling you and sharing with you here this morning that you need to maintain a warm, loving relationship. You need to let your teens know what's expected of them. Avoid the discussion of birth control and know where your kids are at. Because if they're walking in the counsel of the ungodly and they're standing in the way of sinners and if they're sitting in the seat of the scornful, their delight is not going to be in the law of the Lord, right? That's right. It isn't going to be there. You know, parents, you have to do your part in bringing up your children biblically. The church can preach what is right, but if you do not promote what is right, if you don't practice what is right yourself, you'll find that your children are in that 63% of the sexually active, which we do not want, which is not right and biblical. The rest of the time I want to spend with you on Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. If we would just live by Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, there wouldn't be the problems that there is in this realm today. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. What is marriage? I love my Webster's reprint of the 1828 dictionary. And here is what Webster says, and he's right on biblically. He says, the act of uniting a man and a woman for life. I'm going to stop there just for a minute. There's new pressure on for same-sex marriages. There is not such a thing, friends. There is not such a thing biblically. That is fornication. And here's what we have. The act of uniting a man and a woman for life. Wedlock. The legal union of a man and a woman for life. Marriage is a contract, both civil and religious, by which the parties engage to live together in mutual affection and fidelity, that's faithfulness, until death shall separate them. Marriage was instituted by God for the purpose of preventing the promiscuous intercourse of the sexes, for promoting domestic felicity or happiness, and for securing the maintenance and education of children. Now turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Actually, it's Mark chapter 10 and verse 6. Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, in verse 6 through 12. For it says, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female." For all these sodomites who say, "Oh, same-sex relationships," you know how long, if God would have created two men, you know how long that would have lasted? Yeah. As long as they lived, that was it. "But God made them male and female. For this cause," listen, "for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his" what? "His wife. And they twain," or "they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain," or "two, but one flesh." It says, "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." And in the house of his disciples, asked him again on the same matter. And he said unto them, "Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. And if a woman put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery." Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, in verses 1 through 5, going right along with the definition that Webster was given, it was a good biblical one. It says, "Now concerning things whereof we wrote unto you, it's good for a man not to touch a woman." And that means to fondle her. Keep your hands off. "Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. And let every woman have her own husband. And let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise the wife to the husband. For the wife hath not the power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not the power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not," don't withhold, "defraud ye not one another, except it be consent for a time, that you might give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, lest Satan tempt you, not for your lack of for your incontinency or your lack of self-control." Marriage between a man and a woman, back to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4, is said to be honorable. The word honorable means it's respectable, it's precious, it's right, it's God's design. And then in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 4, the next phrase is, it says, "And the bed undefiled." The word "bed" is a translation of the Greek word koite, where we get our word koitos. And it means to come together for the purpose of sexual relationships. Let me just state it real simply for you. Sexual relationships are, they are undefiled, they are pure, they are right within the context of marriage. However, sexual relationships are defiled, they are sinful, they are corrupt in any other context. Just this one verse, Hebrews 13:4, makes it clear. The sexual activities of whoremongers and adulterers are wicked, corrupt, and defiled. So you need to know what a whoremonger is. Well, let me tell you what a whoremonger is. A whoremonger is a person who is a fornicator. One who is involved in unbiblical sexual encounters, and in the context of this verse, it is a reference to anyone who is involved sexually with someone before they are married, whether intercourse or outer course. And I'm not going to explain that. What does the Bible say? We've already seen it. Abstain from fornication. Acts 15:29, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Flee! Run from it! Run from it! Flee fornication. Avoid fornication, 1 Corinthians 7:2. Let not fornication be once named as becometh saints, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. And then Colossians 3 and verse 5, mortify. You know what mortify means? It means make dead. Make it dead. So whoremonger is a fornicator. Now, what about the word adulterer? This refers to a person who has sexual relationships with anyone who is not their spouse. A spouse is your marriage partner. In the case of a married person having sexual relationships with an unmarried person, they are both a fornicator and an adulterer. And former President Bill Clinton, with his involvement with Monica, would fit into the category of being both a fornicator and an adulterer. Now, our popular culture winks at fornication and adultery. They make it the topic of music. They make it the topic of movies. They make it the topic of books. The former First Lady is selling a million books, and the main reason that she's selling a million books is she is letting people into the private life about the fornication and adulterous events that these tell-all books. Trash. Literally trash. We don't need to know that. Those things that take place in secret, you don't buy the book. Our popular culture winks at it and makes money on this. But do you realize what it's doing to marriages? Do you realize what it's doing to our young people? And young people yourself, do you realize what it's doing to you? You know, while the world may wink at adultery and fornication, God does not. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, God makes it very, very clear what His response is. Marriage is honorable. If you want sexual relationships, get married. That shouldn't be the only reason you get married, but that's one of the reasons. Marriage is honorable and all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. God will judge. Sexual sin will be judged by God. If you are guilty of fornication, if you are guilty of adultery, if you are guilty of other sexual sins, and you're a believer, you need to repent. You need to repent of your fornication, repent of your adultery, and confess it to God and get it under the blood of Jesus Christ and walk the straight path from this minute forward. God can heal and forgive, but to wink at it and say it doesn't matter, as our culture is today, is to be gravely deceived. And parents, you know, we'll do our best. We'll do our 11% to promote the biblical standard for sexuality. But if you sit back with spiritual lockjaw, and you don't do what you're supposed to do, then the statistics are stacked against your children. I'm as serious as I can be. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's the place to start. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.